Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. John Cook. I'm so glad you joined us today as we continue our series on Systematic Theology 2. We're looking at lesson number 24 today on the doctrine of prayer. We will get into our lesson right after this. Now join in progress part 1 of 8 in our study on the doctrine of prayer. Hi, and welcome back to our continuing study on Systematic Theology 2. I'm Dr. John Cook. We're going to look at the doctrine of prayer. The importance of prayer cannot be overemphasized in the Christian life. And that's the reason we've chosen to devote one lesson to prayer. These lessons are especially geared for those who desire to be more effective in the ministry of God's Word. Our lesson begins today with the reality of prayer, how vital it is for us to pray, and when we should pray. We'll consider when, how, where, and what we should pray. Then we're going to look at what hinders our prayer life and why we should claim the promises of God as we pray. This then will help us immediately in our prayer life. So let's get right into our study. Prayer is speaking or talking with God. In plain and simple words, when we pray, we are carrying on a conversation with God. It's just as real as our sitting in a room and talking with our earthly Father. We have the privilege of coming boldly before the throne of grace and talking with our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 4:16, in fact, says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Christian, we have the privilege of coming boldly before the throne of grace in time of need, and find the grace that we need. What a wonderful privilege it is for every Christian to enjoy. Prayer is our privilege, our God-given privilege. Think about it. We have the privilege of knowing that the God of the universe, the Creator, our Creator, takes the time to listen to us when we pray. Not only is He hearing us, but He answers our prayers. In prayer, we get to offer up our desires to God. This we can do according to the will of God. That is, we are seeking the will of God in our lives and trusting that the Lord will only give us what is best for us. A man named Dr. H.W. Frost said, "Prayer is worship addressed to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit." This is a great statement because prayer is in fact worship of God. All our prayers are to be addressed to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 16 and verse 24. Because Jesus says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Then again in John chapter 16, verse 26 through 27, Jesus goes on to tell us, "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God." When we come to the Lord in prayer, Jesus tells us that we are to pray in His name, and the Father hears us and loves us because we love the Son. Prayer is a privilege based on our love of the Savior and His love for us. In John 15 and verse 16, we read, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Prayer should come to the Christian as natural as breathing does to our natural life. There are four blessed truths concerning prayer revealed in Scripture. The first is the fact that everything we have, spiritually speaking, is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the basis for our lives. A very informative Bible study for every Christian is for us to look at everything that God gives us through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Scriptures tell us that all things are ours. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 to 23. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Secondly, God has given to us a name above every name by which we can come to him in prayer. And he delights to honor the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Listen to what it says. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name by which every knee shall bow and declare to the glory of the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. If we had a check with the signature of the richest man on earth, we know we would have no problem cashing that check, regardless of what amount was written upon it. Even so, we have the privilege of coming in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ before the throne of grace and asking the Father for all things, knowing full well that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That's what Ephesians 3 and verse 20 tells us. Listen to it. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Wow, what a statement. According to the power that worketh in us. Why then do we not bring our prayers and petitions before God? That is the question.